Den saw his transport idle to a halt at the pickup point just ahead. At least the big rectangular vessels had some armor plating. Once he was inside, he would have a little more protection than being out in the open afforded. A freighter barge went past on his other side, repulsors humming. Two of the smaller flywheel chunks hit it hard enough to embed themselves in its hull. The impacts momentarily canted the barge, and whoever had packed it had apparently missed a pressure field note or two, because several pieces of luggage fell off and went bouncing over the wet ground. Somebody'll be looking for clean underwear tonight, Den thought. Too bad.
No!
Somebody screamed. Den glanced at the surgical evac vehicle, 50 meters or so ahead. He saw I-5 restraining Zan, who looked like he was trying to jump from the vessel. Den followed Zan's frantic gaze and saw the reason. One of the fallen pieces from the cargo carrier was an instrument case, the one Zan carried his Katara in. As Den watched, I-5 and Joss Vondar hauled the stricken Zan back into the carrier, which continued to move off into the twilight, slowly picking up speed. Den headed for his own transport at a trot. He looked at the Katara case. It was only a dozen meters away. If he changed course now, he might possibly be able to grab it up and still reach his transport. Your ride is over there, Den. Go, go, go! Without further thought, Den turned and trotted toward the fallen instrument case. His inner voice went straight to light speed. Are you milking insane? Get on the transport, now! In a minute, he said aloud. Just got to grab one more thing. His inner voice was not placated. Fool! Moron! Idiot! You would risk your life for a musical instrument? This is beyond lunacy. You heard him play, Den said. A guy like that needs his art to survive. His inner voice called him names that would make a slime sea sailor blink. But by then, he was there. He grabbed the case without slowing down, even though it felt as if his arm was being pulled from its socket. How could such light and beautiful music come out of such a heavy instrument? And veered back toward the transport. He swung the case up and over his head, hanging onto the case's neck with both hands and letting the body cover his back like a bizarre carapace. Something big and heavy slapped the case from behind, suddenly knocking it into Den's back and sending him sprawling. Eager hands reached down, grabbed him, pulled him on board. The transport swooped up and forward, leaving most of Den's viscera back on the ground. Or at least, that's how it felt. He glanced over his shoulder and saw that the ground, where buildings had stood only moments before, was now scorched and pitted dirt. He looked at the case and saw that the top was scorched and pitted with shrapnel. Not enough to penetrate to the instrument within, but had that been his back, he probably would not have survived. Did you see that? Tulk asked in disbelief. I did, Joss said, shaking his head. I don't believe it, but I saw it. This from the guy who swore he'd never risk his life for anything or anybody? He must have bent a drive rod.
Carbon-based life forms. Just when you think you've got them figured out.
The three of them looked at Zan. When this war's over, he said, if Den wants it, he can have a position in any of my family's companies, high enough that I'll need an air tank to breathe for as long as he likes. I'm forever in his debt. Joss felt the vessel drop and hit the ground. He instinctively reached for Tulk to protect her. But before he made contact, the world vanished in a red haze. Joss swam up out of unconsciousness. His head hurt. Hurt really wasn't the word, but he doubted any language could describe how it felt, and his vision was blurry. He was aware of the transport listing slightly to starboard, and of Tulk kneeling next to him where he lay on the floor. She was wiping his face with a damp pad. Hey, she said. Hey yourself. What happened?
We got blasted by something. You hit your head on a bulkhead. We sustained some damage. We're slower, but still mobile. About 10 clicks away from the new camp, out of range, apparently. You've been unconscious for almost an hour. Joss tried to sit up, but a wave of stomach-churning nausea and vertigo overwhelmed him. You have a concussion, Tulk said. Lie still.
Yeah, I hear that. Everybody else okay?
Tulk's mouth set in a firm line. She shook her head. Tears welled then, and she blinked them away.
Who?
But he knew. Despite the vertigo and nausea that tore at his brain and gut, despite the fiery pain in his skull, Joss rolled over and struggled to his hands and knees. She crouched down in front of him.
We tried everything, Joss.
Zan took a piece of shrapnel in the brainstem. All his autonomic functions went out at once. She swallowed, and bright tears overflowed her eyes again.
He just shut down. It was instantaneous.
The last thought he must have had was that his Katara had been saved.
He was...
She swallowed again.
He was smiling.